Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for episode 22 of the Godfathers of Podcasting. We are broadcasting live right now on Facebook as well as on thegodfathersofpodcasting.com. And the archive of this show in its audio format will be available on all your favorite podcast providers later on this evening. In case you want to go back, if you want to check out the video archive, always check out godfathersofpodcasting.com. This show, as always, is brought to you by makegoodfood.ca. Go to makegoodfood.ca to get delicious food delivered, raw ingredients to your door. Go to makegoodfood.ca, enter promo code GOP45 to get $45 off each of your first two orders. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you the Mr. Miyagi to my Daniel son and the Daniel LaRusso to my Johnny Lawrence, because Cobra Kai fever is running wild. It's Notorious TID and Danny O. What's up, fellas?
Yo, have you watched any of it? Have y'all watched any of it?
Well, here's the funny thing. I watched Cobra Kai 3 years ago when it came out as a YouTube show. But now that it's on Netflix, everyone's going Cobra Kai crazy. That's the power of Netflix.
Yeah.
That's the power of like being able to get it out there to the masses, right?
Right.
Well, it's really
because YouTube wasn't a big enough platform.
Dude. I was just about to say that. It's interesting how these different platforms are used for different things, because everybody goes to YouTube for everything except when a new series is out, because that's
right.
That's crazy. Like it was, I know it from being on YouTube all this time. And I was like, it's a YouTube show. And you're right. Yeah. Netflix is the platform for new series, new movies. So it's crazy how it's re-blowing up.
There's so many TV shows that are some of my underground favorites and nobody's heard of them. They break out on Netflix.
Right.
Boom. Like another
Every time something premieres on Netflix, it's like top 10 in the country, and the shit could be 10 years old.
Well, another great example was Schitt's Creek.
Right.
Awesome show. Killer show. Nobody ever heard of it. All of a sudden, I've got all my friends and family down in the United States going, yeah, that Canadian show, Schitt's Creek, it's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, no kidding.
It's a big deal to get your stuff put on Netflix, man.
Didn't they just cancel it?
They didn't cancel it. They ended the run.
Oh, okay. Semantics.
Is the whole
Jesus Christ.
There's a difference, between retiring and getting shit canned, Ted.
No, there ain't. You out of job, motherfucker.
Is the whole run on Netflix?
The difference is you gotta watch, you don't get a watch. That's the difference. You gotta watch, you don't get a watch.
You know what's interesting to me though, we're talking about Cobra Kai, is that show was the central original content when Netflix launched their pay service 3 years ago, and they came out with this press release.
Right.
Oh, we're going to have all kinds of like, you know, original content, just like Netflix. 3 years later, the shit is on Netflix. So that tells you how well their paid platform did.
Yeah. You know, here's the really cool thing about it is finally, like, people are going to get to see, like, because again, I'm like you, Don. I watched this when it first came out because I was stoked about it. I was geeking out when it first came out.
Really,
I was like,
good?
Are you kidding
it
me?
Good?
Dude, it's great. It's great writing. Hold on. Hear me out here. It's great writing to the point where it is exactly where everything left off. Like,
really?
it's like
30 watching years later, they haven't done
watching them. Like, no, here's the thing. They flipped the script, but kept it the same. Right. If that makes sense. Right. That's the beauty of it. We all loved the original Karate Kid for a reason. And it was the cheesy writing and the ability that they made us connect
and
with
horrible finisher that Danielson used at the end of his,
they've done it illegal. An illegal finisher, by the way.
Johnny Lawrence.
How do you
not
know what's coming when Danielson does this?
It's really funny, that show, because Tid's right. They kept the fun, campy nature of the show and the silly nature of the show.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they have edged it up a little bit, right? Yep.
They modernized it a bit.
They've modernized a little bit, but it's still got that like
100%.
Like it doesn't quite fit in 2020 type vibe, you know? And Johnny Lawrence is like, how does that guy not age? What the fuck?
They flipped the script. That's the best part about it, right? Like everything is exactly the opposite of what it was. And they still found a way to make you forget about like forget about the story and concentrate on your love for the character. And that's what you've done.
But I'm just saying that show doesn't work if the guy who plays Johnny Lawrence and Ralph Macchio aren't fucking ageless wonders in their 50s.
Yeah, they do look very close to how they used to look.
Because there's a scene an episode in season two where Johnny Lawrence meets up with the other guys that used to be in Cobra Kai with him in the original movie.
Right. Yes.
And those guys all look like fucking fossils.
Yeah, it's the same actors.
They couldn't afford doctors.
I love that they do that though, man. Anytime that you're gonna do a reboot, or in this case, like a new series based on an old movie, I love when you get the same actors to play the same characters because it feels, you know, somewhat more genuine. That being said, I want to take this opportunity to send a big rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And you know, I have to say, man, as much as I loved his work, I haven't seen all of his movies, and I feel like I want to go back.
You're missing out on some
of the movies that I missed. But for a guy who's played Jackie Robinson, James Brown,
you've seen Thurgood that, right? Marshall,
yeah, and of course, and okay. You know, and now learning some of the reasons why he chose his roles and how much his roles meant to him in terms of it wanting to be something that could contribute to the Black community, to Black history in and of itself as an actor, I think is amazing. And it's super sad that he battled with colon cancer for the past 4 years, kept it a secret, and has shocked pretty much everyone. But here we are talking about a rebooted, a series that is essentially a putting back together of the Karate Kid universe. What do you guys think they do with Black Panther?
You know what? There's a lot of chit chat about this. For me, it's like, it's too soon to even give a shit. Like, I'm a big Marvel fan, and I don't give a shit. Like, I saw some online Twitter petition about let the actress who plays his sister take on the role of Black Panther, because that actually happens in the comics.
In the comics, yeah.
And I'm like, who cares? And then I see people like coming up with different Black actors to step in and take his part. And I'm like, who cares? Like, nobody gives a shit. Like, this is the last thing on my mind less than a week after the guy shockingly died.
I actually feel like the character needs to go with him, considering everything that he's put into this character, but also into his acting as a whole. I realize that the way that he took on the role of King T'Challa was no different than he took on the role of Jackie Robinson, James Brown, and Thurgood Marshall. He acted as if King T'Challa was a real character, learning Xhosa, a dialect, and also not just the dialect, the language, and then also the accent, so that he could play this character as a legitimate king from Africa. Right. To me, you know, I've learned so much in the past week about his dedication to his characters that I feel like, and there's so many people, especially young Black boys all over the place, who finally got a superhero they could look at and go, he looks like me, you know. Well, I feel like Chadwick Boseman was more than the actor who played the character. He embodied the King of Wakanda. And, you know, I agree with you, Don, in that the conversation in and of itself is what to do about the character is an important one. But the reason that I bring it up is because my mindset is that the character dies with him because of how huge he was.
The character won't die.
I don't think the character should die, but I think in the Marvel universe, it needs to go a separate way.
I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway,
thankfully, there is a new hero rising. I'm just telling you, in the comic book gone to movie realm, y'all going to get Black Adam.
But okay,
Black
Adam. I don't need to see Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Black Adam. But you know what? Interesting segue. All right. Because there is lots of Dwayne the Rock Johnson news this week. I don't know if you guys are aware.
Yeah, that's what I do, Donnie.
I knew the setup.
You just set me up on transitions, eh? All right. I wasn't quite going to go there just yet, but all right. Before I get to my Dwayne the Rock Johnson stuff, let me just say I find it interesting that Chadwick Boseman first gained notoriety playing the role of Jackie Robinson. That was his first really huge role. Jackie Robinson, of course, unless you're a fucking idiot and don't know this, the first Black person ever to play in Major League Baseball. And then coincidentally, not nearly as significant, but Chadwick Boseman then plays the first black superhero to ever headline an MCU movie. Right. So there are parallels there, you know, and I'm sorry, Wesley Snipes, Blade doesn't fucking count. Nobody saw Blade and it wasn't Marvel. So go fuck your hat. But all that being said,
this was a big deal.
Everybody Dwayne The Rock Johnson Blade. News this week. There's a few stories.
The biggest one first.
The biggest one? Okay, the biggest one, in my opinion, is the fact that Dwayne The Rock Johnson now has a word that's been added to the English language dictionary.
See how I did that? Because I was wondering which one you're going to pick, because there's what?
There's like one, three two, of them.
There's three. Yeah, I was going to say there's three, right? So you put this down. It's either my lingo is in the books. Number two.
Okay, hold on. What?
Yeah. The word jabroni has been
added. I was going to say jabroni, but that's not his own word, though.
Well, it was popularized by the Iron Sheik.
Sure.
It was popularized by the Iron Sheik among inner circles and then made world famous by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Right.
The word jabroni is now in the English dictionary.
Wow.
They're
attributing it to him?
He's being credited as one of the originators and populators of the word. The other words that were added to the English dictionary this past week, janky.
That's what?
What is a janky?
Janky, like, you know, that janky ass car.
I'll tell you what janky
broken,
is. Janky,
broken down piece of
janky,
shit.
Janky is how somebody named Leon Jenkins feels all the time.
He feels janky.
If they're going to add words like that to the dictionary, then yo, everybody out there in the GOP universe, we got to get things like runners and wickeders.
Listen,
come on, man.
There's weirder
janky?
Shit.
I've never even heard of janky.
There's Ooh, weirder shit that they added this week. They added okay, MAGA.
It's a white word.
MAGA is a... Okay.
MAGA has now been added to the English dictionary.
Why is
but it's not a word.
It's an yeah.
There are abbreviations in the English dictionary.
And really?
This is not the only one. They added three abbreviations this past quarter. So MAGA, GOAT, as in greatest of all time.
These aren't words. I mean, GOAT's already in the GOAT's already dictionary. A
word. And well, it's now an alternate definition for GOAT, greatest of all time. And the other one that I think is hilarious that's now in the English dictionary is DGAF, don't give a fuck.
DGAF is in the dictionary?
It's now in the English dictionary, according to dictionary.com.
But isn't that would make it a word, an acronym? How are acronyms?
Acronyms are in the dictionary. Look them up.
Yeah, the word acronym is in the dictionary.
ASAP is in the dictionary.
Wow.
Right? DGAF. When I saw DGAF, don't give a fuck, the first thing I did was I went to the dictionary and said, is fuck in the dictionary?
Yeah, that's a good point. If it's not, then that
it is. It is in the dictionary. Fuck is in the dictionary. It's a real word.
All those acronyms are not in my dictionary, bro.
Yeah.
So the other big story about The Rock this week, he confirmed that he and his entire family tested positive for COVID-19.
Right.
But they are recovering nicely, which is great. Our thoughts and prayers go out.
Do you think that came somewhere from like Titan Games? Do they know?
They haven't said.
You know what I mean? Like, because he's really been like kind of quiet on what he's been doing and stuff like that until like they just finished off that last little bit of Titan Games.
True.
I don't know. Is that a thing?
And he has been doing he's been doing some PR for the new XFL purchase, which he's is another solid. Big, which is another big story that came in this week. He published a promo photo of himself sitting with all of the XFL helmets. He got one of each team delivered to his home. Pretty cool picture. Dude, the XFL was a fucking joke. But when I just read his little promo that he posted on social media, I thought this guy's going to make this shit work. He wrote, I had my dream of playing in the NFL and I never made it. And now I get to own an entire football league and help other guys that can't make the NFL realize their dream of playing professional football. And like, I'm like, this guy's going to do it. He's going to make it work. It's not going to be the NFL, but he's going to make it work. I believe
it.
We've talked about it. We've talked about it before.
Johnson's going to do the XFL. What's he going to do the XFL that hasn't been done that will make it work? Vince tried twice.
No, he tried once. The second time it never started because of COVID.
Oh, it didn't even start. I didn't even realize that.
No, it never even happened. Which is funny, because if you go to the XFL website right now.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. What? He did try, because it was years ago when he tried it the first time, came back. They got some games out of it on the second time around, right?
This year?
They did?
Yeah, okay. They got some games out.
They played this year? I thought they were getting ready to play, and they never actually played.
Last year.
Oh.
They played.
They did?
Remember when the XFL first started, how many years ago it was?
Yeah, that was a long ass time ago.
That's one. Okay. Fast forward with me, Donnie.
All right.
That's two. They were going on three.
I don't think you're right.
Like threes.
How much weed have you had today?
Like dropping threes.
You had one joint this morning. You had a second joint at dinner. And you had a third and fourth right before the show, right?
Yo, I got a joint for you right now. Actually, I don't smoke joints. That's a lie. True. No. That is like I don't smoke joints. That's,
just a hitter.
Yeah.
Your bongos.
As he sparks a hitter. You're the man, Tid. So listen, I want to mention something, not to totally bring this down, but there's a really important story that's going around right now. And Dan, you had a chance to pontificate a little bit last week about the goings on in the world. And I want to take my opportunity to do somewhat similar thing, mostly because I'm getting pissed off by the amount of false information that's out there on social media. So I want to clarify something. This past week, the ex-boyfriend of Breonna Taylor was arrested. And all of a sudden, I see all of these typically right-wing political supporters going, see, that's why that cop's not going to jail, because that piece of shit was a criminal and he deserves what he gets and he's going to jail. So let me just explain something to everyone. Jamarcus Glover, who was arrested this past week, is not the same brother that was in the apartment with Breonna Taylor. That man's name is Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker was Breonna Taylor's current boyfriend. Jamarcus Glover was her ex-boyfriend that she had broken up with many months previous. Okay, let's just establish that right now. Jamarcus Glover, multi-time criminal, been in prison multiple times, was a known drug trafficker. Kenneth Walker, no criminal history whatsoever. The police obtained a warrant to break into Breonna Taylor's apartment because they had old intel that Jamarcus Glover hung out at her place and sold drugs out of there. They got a warrant to get to Breonna Taylor's home. They got a no-knock warrant, which means they're allowed to bust the door down without identifying themselves. Mm-hmm. Before they went, the no-knock warrant was retracted, and they were told they had to knock.
Mm-hmm.
According to all but one witness, they did not hear police identify. There was one witness that says, I think I heard them say, hello, police. One witness out of all the witnesses interviewed. Then they took the battering ram and trashed her front door. They broke into the apartment, and Kenneth Walker, with no criminal record, who is a licensed gun owner, thinks to himself, someone just broke down the door while we're in bed fucking sleeping. I think it's Jamarcus Glover, her crazy ass ex-boyfriend. So he reaches, grabs his gun, and shoots. The last time I checked, every American I know stands by the belief system that if a man breaks into your home, it's open season. Am I right, fellow representative American here?
Oh, absolutely. Continue.
Okay. So this is what he did. He shot. And when he shot and he fired a bullet into the thigh of Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly. Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly went down. And then another police officer by the name of Detective Brett Hankinson unloaded more than 10 rounds immediately into the apartment, blindly shooting.
He saw his boy down.
He saw his boy down and started spraying the apartment.
Absolutely.
At that point, Breonna Taylor took 5 bullets and was down and was struggling to breathe for the next 5 minutes. She was not instantly killed. There is another important detail here. When a situation like this happens, where the police have a warranted break-in of an apartment, standard procedure is to have EMS, emergency medical services, on standby in case of a shootout, either for the police benefit or for the accused. An hour before they broke the door down, Detective Brett Hankinson told the EMS crew to leave, that they would not be needed. They were dismissed from the scene by Detective Brett Hankinson. This is all documented.
Ask yourself why.
They are gone. Now, if the woman was struggling to breathe for 5 minutes, if the EMS had been on site, she had a chance to live, even with all of the other mistakes that were made. And I'm not going to say that Kenneth Walker is 100% without fault because he started shooting, even though that is the belief system. Man breaks into your house, you start shooting. That is the belief system. Okay. That's not the way people think and operate in the country I live in, but that is the mentality in the United States of America. And I don't blame it. I don't have an issue with it, but he starts shooting. One cop goes down. They entered the house illegally, as far as we can tell. They violated the warrant. They sent the EMS home. Mm-hmm. They made mistake after mistake after mistake. On top of that, they falsified the police report, which has been made public. They stated they did not break the door down. They stated Breonna Taylor was uninjured. Right. This is in the police officer's report. Okay. And with all those mistakes and all those lies and all that bullshit, she had a chance to live if they didn't dismiss the EMS on site that was already there waiting to see what was going to go down. So let me just say this very clearly. Detective Brett Hankinson was terminated months ago by the police department in Louisville. He needs to go to prison, not just for shooting an innocent bystander, not just for doing that. That's what everyone wants. He killed this black woman. He needs to go to jail. That's part one. It's not the whole crime. He dismissed EMS and we don't know why. He falsified a police report and we don't know why. He voided his warrant that was revoked, the no-knock warrant, and did it anyway. Not only does this motherfucker need to go to jail, whatever, and I know this is not policy and I know that there is no precedent for this, but precedent needs to be set. When a police officer does something like this, the punishment must be greater than it is for a civilian. It must be, because he is acutely aware of what the law is and he was acutely aware that he circumvented it. And anyone that wants to tell me that he was self-defending because he was shot at first, anyone who wants to fucking tell me that, just remember he busted into another man's home. And the same people that are saying that,
that's right,
the same people that are saying that refuse to say that Kenneth Walker should not be charged because he's a black man that shot first. But these same people are defending Kyle Rittenhouse with self-defense.
Okay.
Listen. So all you can fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, Chadwick Boseman is dope.
No, listen.
Oh, okay.
He's dead?
I heard. Go ahead, Dan.
I want
Paul Walker died too.
Oh shit. We can't make jokes. Go ahead, Dan.
You know, listen, bro. I appreciate every single word you just said on that microphone. I appreciate all of the specifics, the evidence, the facts of the situation that people continue to ignore so that people could hear it on this platform and understand something that they continue to either completely dismiss or they don't want to hear. But I have to tell you guys, all jokes aside, with respect to the actual lack of melanin that I have, it is beyond exhausting. It is beyond tiring and I don't even know what other euphemism to give you. to continue to see the excuse making and the drawing at straws rationale to justify murder. We're talking about Kyle Rittenhouse, the murderer. We're talking about Ahmaud Arbery's murderers, George Floyd's murderers, Breonna Taylor's murderers, the constant justification. And worse than that, this ridiculous idea that the justification has nothing to do with any form of racial bias. I don't know what is more aggravating, what is more disrespectful, what is more insulting to my intelligence and to my entire community, is to have us continually shot to death, or to have us told that actually, no, what we saw wasn't actually what we saw. Now, there's no video of Breonna Taylor's murder, but the amount of video evidence to show us exactly what's happening and to be told that what we saw wasn't actually what we saw and we are interpreting it other than what it really was, that Kyle Rittenhouse actually has a self-defense claim, even though he showed up with an AR-15 illegally to a protest he had no business being at, murdered two people, and out after the first murder, when people tried to disarm him, murdered someone else. I've reached a level of despair and anger, and I'm actually running out of words to describe it, that I don't know if the two of you guys feel, and you guys are two of the greatest allies I could possibly have in this fight, but I have to tell you, man, I'm at my wit's end with people. I have broken my own rules of not arguing with idiots on Facebook, and then I started going back to that rule, and I'm starting to think, what is the next thing for me to do? How do I handle this situation? Because I again, like I said, for someone who writes on a daily basis, I'm literally at a loss for words for how to describe myself or describe my feelings or to how to bring about any form of change in the wicked and evil minds of the people who refuse to see things for how they really are. And I'm currently in a place where I don't see there being change. I don't see, I mean, it's not like there's going to be some sort of miraculous end to racism. So I'm literally getting to a place. This is why I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this to you, Tid. This is why I'm anti-gun. Because if I had one and I lived in the States, bad things would be happening.
100%.
Bad things would be happening right now.
I don't own one. I do not own one. But I do believe that everybody has the right to protect their castle.
I agree with you on that, Tid.
I do not agree that it needs to be some high-powered elephant killer.
Right.
Out on with bullets that will pierce armor. Go fuck yourself. It's a shotgun. That's what need to protect your home, and everybody's home should be equipped with that, and then you don't have a need for any argument for there to be anything else. Here's the reality of it. None of us are even having this conversation or any of these conversations unless inequality exists. If we're equal across the fucking board, like some of these people try to say that we are,
right,
then we don't have these conversations.
Right.
We don't clearly we are not.
Yes.
And so we need to continue having these conversations until these conversations aren't necessary. That's the fucking reality, people.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. And this is what is so hurtful to me, is that these conversations are, in my opinion, or at least in my experience over the past week, only bringing about more frustration. As you guys are obviously aware, over the past week, all three professional sports leagues that were in action took days off in protest. And all I saw all over the place were people who claimed to be fans of these sports and fans of their teams talking about how they'll never watch again and they need to just go back to playing and all this stuff. And that, and for me, especially, you know, being a Raptors and Jays fan and being part of groups of with other Raptors and Jays fans, leaving all those groups, realizing that these people are not on my team, bro. They're not on my team, Tit. And it's like, how is it that they can sit there and cheer on Black people on a week to week, day to day, whenever they play business, and then turn around and go, fuck this Black Lives Matter shit.
Right. The only time it benefits that group of people right now is when they're arguing, when Black people in the United States are arguing about their gun rights. Because white, black, red, brown, it doesn't matter. If you're an American, you have that right. And so there are a lot of Black men and women in the United States who believe about their right to have guns. So then it's okay for the KKK to say, hey, they're okay. But if it doesn't, have a mean or a cause to suit them,
of course,
then of course there's no more equality. And that's the problem. It has to be standard. It has to be across the board for everything. If I'm here to scratch your back and expect you to scratch mine, that doesn't mean I stop doing it after the first fucking time. I also feel like I've made way too many fucking rhymes in this entire thing. Well, that's kind of weird too.
You're catching on, bro. Catching on, because Donnie stepped up his game, and I know you feeling the pressure.
That's weird. But here's like I'm saying, that's the reality of it, though, right?
Yeah,
it's like we keep having to have this conversation, right? And here's the important thing that you have to remember, Don, and Dan. Here's the important thing that y'all have to remember is that, as frustrating as it might be to have this conversation over and over and over, the people that you look up to that had these conversations before, that went out on their shield having these conversations, those are the people that you should emulate during these times.
Yeah.
Know that you're doing the right thing 100%. Know that your words are not falling on 100% deaf ears. And if they're falling on 1%, then you're making a difference. Then you're making a change.
Word up,
and
man.
That's the focus that you need to fucking keep in mind, man. So don't get down. Right. Don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated with the people. Eventually, some of them are going to have to come around, because there ain't going to be nothing left but to come around.
Yeah, I feel you. And I appreciate that. I do. There's just some times where it's like, I better log off before I break.
Absolutely. And that's what we're all here for.
Yeah. And I appreciate it, man. It's just
right.
Like, what's so difficult about having the conversation is they're really clever in the way they conflate things. And then you have to have conversations about the conversation. So instead of actually honing in on what
the
problem is. Yeah, well, and that's the thing, man, is it's like, you know, you got to wage the war between who to cut off and who to try to really get in this with. And like I said, when you think that you have people on the team who are not. And one thing that I want to say, I want to take this opportunity to actually say this, because there's a lot of different, let's say, groups of people out there who have really bewildered me over the past week. I mentioned these, you know, sports groups or sports allegiances, but the hip hop community. I want to actually say something to everybody out there in the hip hop community. Let me make something clear. I know, Don, you want to. Okay, this isn't something that I can wrap up quick, so I'll get to it at another point. But I'll try and pinpoint my point, and I want to get back to it either later or at another episode.
That's fine.
This is an important thing to me, man. If you are a member of the hip hop community, understand that you are part of a Black culture that has welcomed you. Hip hop is universal. It is worldwide, and everybody is welcome all over the world. In every single country on this planet, there is a hip hop scene, and you have been welcomed to it. One of the things I love the most about the hip hop culture is that it has embraced people from all over the world, all different cultures, all different aspects of the culture, including MCing, DJing, b-boying, graffiti writing, etc. If you don't understand, though, its origins and its history by way of being part of it and disrespecting the Black community, you do not belong in hip hop. And I'm going to elaborate that on a future point and or episode, because it is one of the craziest things that I've had to contend with as an artist over the past. Never mind as an artist, just again, as a member of the Black community, as a member of the hip hop community, to see people who are involved in hip hop on this disrespect towards the Black community. It's unreal.
You're talking about Tom McDonald. Donnie, to you.
Thanks, Tid. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to switch gears and welcome our featured guest this week. And let's do our introduction the way that we always do around here. Ladies and gentlemen, our featured guests this week are members of a popular, tragically hip tribute band that was formed almost 2 years ago. Shut the fuck up, you guys. As I mute them, they're members of a popular, tragically hip tribute band that formed almost 2 years ago. And they honor the most Canadian band that ever was. And armed with will and determination and grace too, they have carved out a niche for themselves, having performed at some of the most historic venues in Toronto, like the Horseshoe and the Phoenix. There's no dress rehearsal. This is their life. And they're always looking to fundraise for charities that are important to them. Most recently, Hornet Saves the Bees, and their next show on September 18th for Sick Kids Hospital. We're going to be talking about that. Introducing the best dressed singer in the business, the cockiest guitar player that backs his shit up, another guitar player that always forgets to sing backups, a bass player that pretty much never says a fucking thing, a drummer who's traveled the world in spandex and whose testicles I've seen so many times I could pick them out of a police lineup. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a little after nine because it was in Bob Cajun where I saw the constellations reveal themselves one star at a time. Andrew Muya, Giancarlo Moro, CJ Ashley, Steve Persanti, and Nick Fodi, collectively known as Off the Hip. Fellas, are you there?
Now you can unshut the fuck up.
Right? Unmute.
Show yourselves. There
hey, it is. Wow. There they are.
It is basically the most Irish band I've ever heard of.
Turn your phone sideways there, Fodi.
Oh. See, I thought I couldn't do that.
No,
it's impossible to turn it sideways. You need extra strength.
So for anyone watching, the video feed, we are broadcasting right out of their rehearsal space. We got two different devices going here for two different POVs.
Oh, sick. I like that. Okay.
And
for those wondering, the drummer is not wearing a mask. That's his beard.
I have a question. Who's paying for the rehearsal space? Because when my group got into the rehearsal space, it was a real problem when it came to splitting the bill. Are you right guys here. All in? It's one
dude. I bought it all. Okay. You know, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
You know me. You know me as a frugal individual, correct? Do you That's think I would pay weekly for a recording studio?
Well, you get where my question's coming from. What do you owe him?
Like a woman or man who finds a partner with money, I found a band member with a recording studio.
Well done. Well done. So, you've learned rule number one of the music business. Get someone else to pay for the shit.
Well, oh my done. God.
Bring his sticks, and I'm a little upset that I have to do that.
This is like the meeting of the minds of the two cheapest motherfuckers I know, Dan and Fodi.
I'm upset that you started that group before we even got one Cookies and Cream record out the gates, man.
We can still do it.
I like the fact that this tragically hip cover band is going to be looking for a new drummer tomorrow.
They're going to go through more drummers.
They're like, wait a second. Yeah, that's right. He doesn't pay for nothing.
Before we're done with tonight's show, you got to get on the drums. Y'all got to jam because I have not seen Nick on the drums.
Well, yeah, no, he's holding his guitar for nothing, Dan.
So
Nick, we are going to play something. But Dan, I heard you're like the top hip, tragically hip fan ever. You know all their songs.
He's the penultimate fan.
I can name at least double digit songs by the Tragically Hip 00. So if you guys could actually fill me in so I could start my Tragically Hip playlist what would be the top five songs?
Dan will be today years old when he hears his first Tragically Hip song.
Correct. And I would like to five songs. And there, how many members of the group?
There's five.
Everybody give me one Tragically Hip song that I got to put on my playlist because I'm going to check it out.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Can we swear? Yeah, I guess so.
No, you can't fucking swear.
No. Everybody else can swear except you, motherfucker.
So, like, is this what we think is, like, the most popular hip song? Or
no,
the
man, your favorite. Because
if you're trying to convince Dan to become a fan.
Yes, right. Because as a musician, I know that many times when you have a favorite band, and I'm obviously you guys love the Tragically Hip to cover them, it often there's like hidden album tracks, B-side songs that most other people don't talk about. Yes. I don't know what you know. I'm saying I know I have favorite songs from artists that other people say really. So I want to know whatever your personal favorite Tragically Hip songs are, so I can put together this exclusive playlist and really get the real essence of the group.
All right, first one, we'll go with Cordelia.
Cordelia is a classic.
Cordelia, okay.
I'm going to go before people steal it. I'm going to say Grace 2.
Grace?
Did you like my Grace 2 reference in the intro?
That was an amazing intro. We need you on the 18th.
Is it Grace 2, like part 2, or Grace also?
T-O-O.
Yeah.
T-O-O, I spelled it right. Excellent. Okay, Cordelia and Grace 2. It's all chick names. I like this.
I'll throw out Fiddler's Green.
Huh? Feathers?
Fiddlers.
Yes.
Fiddlers.
Yeah.
Fiddler's
Feathers
Green.
Yes.
I'm fully checking these. Fiddler's Green, got it?
All right.
It's a good life if you don't weaken.
It's a good life if...
If you don't weaken.
Oh, okay.
That not one good. Of you motherfuckers is going to say Bob Cajun?
Well, we were going to kind of maybe play that.
So Don, would that be yours, Bob Cajun?
It's a good one.
No,
man.
It's not. It's. I'm gonna throw it out there and
number five.
Escape is a hand for the traveling man.
Wow, we're going deep cuts.
Oof. Yes.
Escape is a hand.
Oof. Achievement unlocked. That is a deep cut.
Yes.
Did you say escape is a hand for the traveling man?
Yeah. Escape is a hand for the traveling man.
Got it. That's my Tragically Hip top five. I'm gonna check that out. Thank you.
So
you better text me about that after. You can tell me if you think it was shit.
My favorite part is that he's not even willing to listen to any other, just these five.
Well, I got to start somewhere, and I figure if anyone's going to recommend Tragically Hip Joints, it's this group who obviously loves the group. You
know? I just got a direct message in chat from a viewer. Stephanie says Scared is their best song ever.
Okay, I'm going to add Scared. Thank you, Stephanie. I'll add that to my
playlist. Yeah, that is a good song.
I will do
so. A couple things before we get into all this stuff, let's talk about why we're all here. Nick, since you're standing closest to the camera, why don't you tell us what is happening on September 18th and why the hell should we all be there?
We are overly ambitious.
You're echoing like crazy.
I don't know. I thought I turned it off.
No, this is why they don't give microphones to drummers. You
Tiddlywinks, stop it. Be nice, goddammit.
I don't know how.
I know.
Fuck. All right.
Okay. Is it better now?
Go ahead, Fody.
No,
we're overly ambitious, so we decided to put on like Wayne World, like very much like Wayne's World. We decided to do our own version of Wayne Stock.
Nice. And Wayne Stock.
We decided to put on our own festival in a way that we can actually still go to live music during COVID because everybody's locked up. I heard months ago that people were doing this drive-in thing. So I looked into a few venues. Markham, Ontario, where the Markham Fairgrounds is, has a huge area that they're transforming. And it looks amazing, like full rig, full sound, lights, like... there's screens on all sides and everybody pulls up, they tune into FM and we are putting on, we are one of four bands. We're a Tragically Hip cover band. There's a Nirvana cover band. There's a Pearl Jam cover band and there's a Foo Fighters cover band.
Wow.
And we're all going to put on this show on Friday, September 18th to raise money for a Sick Kids Foundation.
That's awesome, man.
I'm going to be there. I'm excited about it. That's the same weekend as my birthday, so I'm going to make this part of my birthday celebration. I'm going to be there for sure. I think I'm going to convince Tid to come out. Dan doesn't like white people music, so I don't think we're going to get him out there. But you know, his racism
even
aside.
Hall and Oates cover band that night.
His racism aside, we will all be there to support.
If there's a Hall and Oates cover band, I'm in.
Well,
so it's
the man.
No jokes, for real. Listen, do you guys do any? And I don't know if this is true for any cover bands. Do you guys do any original music, or is it specifically stuff from the Tragically Hip's catalog?
I realized in my old age, for lack of a better term, that nobody cares about my anything original that we would want to do.
Wow.
So
that's tough.
I love the Tragically Hip. I love playing this kind of music. I still love being in a band environment. Right. This was like the best thing for me to do, that we could still kind of make an impact and do shows where we can raise money still. Right.
Right.
You know what?
I was a pro wrestler, or I am a pro wrestler.
No, you said it right the first time.
I was a pro wrestler. I was a good one. Maybe.
Well, and the funny thing is, just like the cover band, right?
Yeah.
That was your pro wrestling career. His whole wrestling career was a cover tribute to Rhino.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, everybody. Holy crap.
See, the guitar player CJ, my buddy who knows nothing about wrestling, was like, was that a burn? I don't get it.
The best.
That's what I have to remind myself.
What about the rest
of the
guys?
The real world doesn't know what you're talking
about. What about the rest of the guys? Fuck you, Nick. Get out the way. What about the rest of the guys? Like, are any of you guys, like, do you write your own stuff as well? Or is this like, this is your jam, this is what y'all want to do?
Well, me and the bass player, we wrote a lot of our original stuff in our other band. We have another band where we do original music.
That's awesome.
Right? Yeah, the band's called Brass Ant. You can check it out if you want.
Is that John Luca?
Yeah.
So I heard, tell me if this is true, I heard that you can shred virtually any song on that fucking axe. Is that true?
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
Wow.
Yngwie Malmsteen, go.
Yngwie Malmsteen, the guitar's a different tune. He can't do it.
Okay. Nuno Bettencourt, Flight of the Wounded Bumblebee. Go. Yeah. Amazing.
I don't know if they.
What, that Yngwie Malmsteen?
Yeah, do that again.
Some shit like that, whatever.
That
our boy's wicked talented.
Nice.
I feel like there should be like Meth Heads flamencoing because it's on an acoustic or something, but it's so fast, right?
That was dope.
That's awesome.
I want to play a little game with you guys, as sometimes we do on this show.
All
so
right,
we're gonna play a little game with all five of you. So here's the game. All right, and any one of the three of us is gonna throw this out to y'all. We're gonna play Who's Most Likely To. All right. And so for the sakes of for identification, just so we have everything clear.
Hold on. We can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear us now?
Yeah.
We can hear you now.
So that's Andrew on the far right, right? Andrew, put your hand up. There you are. And Gianluca, where are you? Okay, there he is. Fody's in the middle there. And then we got CJ. Where's CJ at? There's CJ. And Steve, way in the back. All right. So we're going to play Who's Most Likely To. We're going to throw out a question, and all you got to do is point, shout out the name, whatever, of whoever in the band is most likely to fit this question. And if you have a funny story that goes along with it, feel free to shout it out. So first off, who's most likely to show up late to rehearsal?
Nick Foley.
Nick Foley.
Yeah. Fucking asshole.
Today.
What's the latest he's ever shown up?
Half an hour.
Oh, that's a dick. Oh,
that's
move.
Not bad.
That's a
you
dick. Know,
thank
move.
You.
Oh, you're
you
know, lucky.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Fuck. Actually, spend a half hour tuning your guitars, boys.
Actually, one time Muya didn't even show up.
Like he's got to show up and be Bam Bam. Wow, that was probably better for y'all.
Did y'all haven't one? Struggled yet, man. When I did rehearsals with my group, it's like just forget about the rest of your day. You got to wait for hours.
Yeah, but come on. That's a come on.
Wow. All right. I got one for y'all.
All right, go for it.
Which one of y'all is most likely to dine and dash?
Oh, Nick Foley.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
this is the guy. This is the guy who, when we played it, we played a bar show. They gave us what did they give us, like $50 free tab or something like that. The bill comes that night. We each walked away with like $40 each from the show because Nick's fucking calamari took up the majority of the bill on the menu. This guy ordered, we're all ordering chicken.
Daniel, it was delicious. I had to order two.
I don't blame you.
We're ordering chicken wings and fucking chicken fingers. This guy orders a pork chop with mashed potatoes and a side of calamari.
So Nick's sitting there going, hey, you guys, fuck your payday. I need my calamari.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Motherfucker ain't good that night. Don't worry.
Is anybody a calamari fan? When you find a good one, yeah,
that's true.
You like calamari.
Wait, was it breaded? Was it breaded?
Okay, Teddy was lightly dusted. So
go
perfect.
Fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
Lightly dusted. Who's most likely to quit the band and join an all-girl Courtney Love whole cover band?
CJ. Whoa. Oh,
CJ? Why CJ?
He's the lover of the whole.
I'm the prettiest one. CJ's the prettiest. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, let me add a hip hop spin to this.
Go ahead.
Let me add a hip hop spin. Who's most likely to leave the band, start a new one, and write a diss track about the other members?
Gianluca.
Wow.
All right. Does Gianluca already talk shit about everybody? Is that why?
It's possible. He's the youngest. He's the cockiest. It's funny.
And he's talented, so the fucker backs it up. That's the problem.
Okay.
Okay.
So how long have you guys been together? Like, and I don't mean just as a band. Did you put an ad in the paper? Was it like the back of a Vice magazine or something?
No,
like,
well, actually,
like, because Nick, I feel like with
high school.
Wow.
Yeah. We've been actually, Nick and I have been playing hip tunes.
Unlike you, kid, I keep friends.
Oh, sucker. You fucking sucker.
What an asshole. He rimshotted his own shitty joke.
Yeah, Nick and I have been playing together since high school. We played in a few bands together. And just most recently, I think a couple of years ago, Nick and CJ and I and another friend of ours were just kind of jamming casually on Sunday nights. Nick met Gianluca through school, work.
Oh, okay.
And then we kind of all got together one night, threw some things together, said that was pretty cool. Let's get back together and met a week after that. And it just became a constant thing. Played our first show at the Rock Pile on August 15th. And then the rest
for Hornet.
For Hornet.
That August 15th show, Tid and I were both at that show. And I'm not bullshitting when I tell the listeners and the viewers out there, you guys blew the fucking roof off the joint. You guys did a great job.
Thank you.
Impressed. And after years of listening to Fody brag about what a drummer he was, I finally saw him back it up for the first time ever.
No, dude, I saw him mouthing the counts like to himself as he was playing. He was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Desperately, I was high on calamari.
Like, get this motherfucker a metronome at least, would you?
If he's keeping
no
the beat for the,
saying I'm the shittiest member of the band.
You're fucking awesome, dude. You're fucking awesome. You might be the shittiest guy in that band, but you're fucking awesome. So that means
you're not the shittiest guy in the world. So you got.
Who's most likely?
Can we try to play something?
Yeah, but I want one more question. Who's most likely to have the most girls coming up to them after a show asking for a selfie?
Gianluca.
Think so?
Wow, you guys don't sound bitter at all.
Shut up, you motherfucker!
Ah, singers, girls love singers.
Yo,
I was gonna say, how does a front man not get the most attention?
Oh, it's easy. It's called genetics.
Bro, even Joey Ramone got the most people coming up to him, right?
Yeah, but he covered his face with his hair, man. It was good.
Yo, so you guys are in mid rehearsal right now. What are you guys going to play for us tonight, man?
I think we're going to do Lost Region.
All right. Do your thing.
All right, check. Thank you.
your house this morning. About a quarter after dawn. Could have been the Willie Nelson. Could have been the one. When I left your house this morning, wasn't there a as it was in my pages, I saw the constellations reveal themselves one star at a time.
Gentlemen, nice job, fellas. Maybe, am I right? The most Canadian song ever written.
Oh, possibly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like the hockey song might have that beat.
I'll tell you this. That was my introduction to the Tragically Hip. And if they sound like that, then I'm a fan. You guys are dope, man. Much love and much respect. And hey, man, you had my head bopping, Nick. You had my head bopping, Nick, man. Good job on the drums there, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well done, fellas. We enjoyed that. Ted, where's your dog at, by the way?
Which one?
Where's Gord?
He's downstairs. Yeah, that's a funny story because, like, so we do a lot of stuff. My wife does a lot of rescue stuff and everything like that. So we get dogs in and out of here all the time. And a lot of them, we're kind of like the island of misfit toys on the dog department around here. Right. And so we have this new one that came through. And one of the rules here is that when they come through and they're such little dogs and stuff like that, they might have a problem or two. And then we fix them up. Boom. We send them out there. They become great pets for everybody. It's fantastic. I get to name them. And here was the deal. We have this new one that came in and he's this awesome little thing, but he's got a problem with his back legs where it's like he almost like flounders out a little bit on his back legs and stuff like that when he's walking because he came from like a mill probably. I don't know. But he's having troubles and we've had these kind of dogs here before and they fix themselves up. And I thought what better way to like tribute this little puppy in Canada. So I named him Gordy, like as in Gord Downey, because he's got a couple of very tragic hips.
Hey,
there we go.
Now you think it's a joke. You think it's a joke, but I'm very fucking serious. This is the way, like I am legit. That is a thing. This is what goes on. So like, even though I'm an American, I appreciate everything that the Tragically Hip has done for Canada. I appreciate what you guys are doing to keep that alive in a time when they cannot, in a time when people cannot get out and see it. And you know what I mean? In tight little quarters, the clubs that every musician in the fucking world is used to. That's the reason that we get into it. You know what I mean? To have that kind of atmosphere. You guys are going out now and you're doing this on a bigger stage at a drive-in thing that like, that's cool, man. You're making the effort and that's super cool. I just wanted to say thumbs up to like,
at least.
Yeah. Well done, fellas.
For a great cause too, man. And for a great cause, anything that benefits children is 100%. A great cause. So much respect for being part of something like that.
So once again, it's a drive-in concert happening on Friday, September 18th at the Markham Fairgrounds, which is a great location. If it sounds like it's far away from you and you're in the Greater Toronto area, it's not nearly as far as you think it is. The drive up to the Markham Fairgrounds. It's a drive-in concert. You're in your car. You're watching the show. It's $100 per car. You can have as many people in your car as long as up to six, as long as everyone's got a seatbelt and everything's safe.
I heard rumor that enough of our listeners get together, right, and pitch in that Donnie was going to get a party bus for this thing for like the crew.
Seatbelts on a party bus. That doesn't work.
For me, Dan, and a bunch of listeners, he was going to put something together, right? That's what I heard, right, Donnie?
Maybe that's true. We'll see. So September 18th.
Change the oil while you're under there.
Yeah, it runs me under the bus.
Well, listen, you can't get a whole party bus in there for $100. If they were to do that, then Nick wouldn't have enough money for calamari, bro.
No, Donnie will pay $200. Oh, don't worry.
Okay. There you
make
go.
It three.
All right, we'll make it three.
Get it extra this time.
I forgot to mention, you'll appreciate this if you're much music background. The event is hosted by Ed the Sock.
Right. How did we not mention that?
Ed, he was getting to it. He was getting to it.
Ed the Sock, iconic Canadian comedian / broadcaster, will be hosting this event. And Ed the Sock will be our special guest on this show on Tuesday night. So tune in for that, all of our listeners and all of our fans. Fellas, thank you so much. And September 18th, everyone should go check it out. Proceeds go to Sick Kids Hospital. I'm a little disappointed that this event wasn't called Coverpalooza. I think that would have been fun, but I'm enjoying Saved by the Grunge. I think that's good. Tell me again, Foo Fighters, who else?
Nirvana,
Pearl Jam. And you, that's amazing. I love it. Guys, thanks so much. Thank you for your time. Fody, you want to say a special shout out to your longtime tag team partner today?
Oh, it's Matt Burns' birthday. Happy birthday, Matt Burns.
For those out there that don't know, for many, many years, Nick Fody was in a tag team in pro wrestling called the Flatliners, along with Matt Burns. It is Matt Burns' birthday today.
What a stupid name.
You're the one that named him, you dick.
Oh,
yeah. 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 So it's Matt Burns' birthday today. You may have seen Nick and Matt on The Amazing Race Canada.
Should have.
Where they lost to a better team. They came in second.
It was all about those skis, man. The skis were the undoing.
Wow.
And despite Nick's protests that the show was fixed, they just lost to a better team. Yeah. Right, Nick?
And it's absolutely. Well, this has been fun. You guys have a good time. Wow. The best way to do it.
Hey, should have went with cookies and cream, bro.
Yes, we will. We'll do that. We'll do Dan. If you come to the show, you can do a little
okay
somewhere.
That'll be amazing.
Oh, that's how you get Dan at the show. Appeal to his ego and get him a mic.
Oh, so you guys could do like Run DMC and Aerosmith stuff, because that's
We'll do Walk This Way.
That would be right? Amazing.
We'll build a wall for him to kick
down for that. Yeah, that would be great.
Have you guys got a website or social media where people can?
Yeah, definitely. You find us on Instagram at From the Hip Band, and Facebook at From the Hip Toronto.
I just started the Twitter. I forget the handle, and we have no followers, so don't worry.
Well done.
Good job.
I wasn't going to bother with Twitter, and then someone told me to. And I still think it's a stupid idea. I hate Twitter.
Wait, hold on. Quick caveat. When did you start that?
Like 2 days ago.
When did you start being late for practice?
Since I was born.
Which one of you guys thought it was a good idea to leave the fucking drummer in charge of anything if he can't even show up on time?
Good ask.
I'm a fellow drummer, so I get it.
Good night, hip lovers. Much appreciated.
Great, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good one. That is From the Hip, ladies and gentlemen, our first ever musical performance here on the Godfathers of Podcasting.
As they continue
to jam.
No,
well,
it's not.
I'm not counting all Dan's freestyles.
Wow.
I mean, I'm talking about like a band, like a whole band.
Wow.
Oh,
okay.
You want Rap lives matter, man.
You want me to change the oil while I'm under your bus?
Wow, Rap dude, it's not my fault. It's not. Listen, I'm just saying, in this day and age, it's not my fault he doesn't have like any guitars in his music. It's no fact that like five musicians like right there when he's playing and stuff like that. It doesn't make it like they use the record thing, you know, and it's not even real records anymore. It's like fake little turntable things. That's not my fault. That's not Dan's fault. He's a victim of technology. Don't discredit his musical abilities. That's a live performance every single time. Not like when the horse face killer comes out.
Hey, I want to ask, cause we had a couple of these, who's most likely to questions for the band that we didn't get to. So between the three of us,
all right,
who's most likely to leave the shittiest tip if we all go to dinner?
Donnie.
Not a chance.
Dude, I paid for your tip. I remember. I've been there, bro. Dude.
One time.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
That's because you did the gangster move.
Yeah,
where you're
I
like,
did.
I got
yeah,
this.
I fucking did. Yep. Before anybody could get it. Let me show you who the boss is.
I know. You're one of those guys.
That's how it should be played, though, right?
Dan, what's your go-to automatic tip when you go to dinner? Is it 10%, 15%?
Whatever the change is on the clothes.
Or is it automatically no tip unless they wow you?
No, I always tip, but I would say that service will have something to do with it. 15 is my go-to. You'll get more if we're really dope.
You tip over 15?
I generally will punch it. See, because now I do everything on my card. So the card will be, you know how they have it now? You can just click the button. It says 15. I run a 15.
Yeah, but you don't tip more than 15. Be honest.
You got to be really good. Yeah.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Anything else that we want to get to before we say goodnight?
As of midnight tonight, my new album will be out. It's called The Day It All Changed, Lockdown Remixes. It is 20 brand new remixes of songs from The Day It All Changed album. It streams everywhere. Of course, you can download it as well through Urbnet, Apple Music, etc. Wherever you download or stream music. officially February, September 4th is the release date. And that is midnight tonight. So I hope you enjoy this album as much as I enjoyed having it made for me. Because for I just... Yes, because I just shouted out a whole bunch of producers online and said, hey, we're all on lockdown. It's COVID-19. This goes back to when we all, you know, started the lockdown. And I had dozens of producers hit me up. About a half dozen of the producers made the cut. And I'm thankful to say that I got so much fire that it turned into a double album. So 20 new remixes dropped tonight. And yeah, hope you enjoy it.
That's because Dan thinks he's the GOAT. He DGAFs all the other jabronis in the business with his janky ass music, but he's putting it out anyways. And here comes the new album at midnight. I'm trying to use all the new words.
I understood that.
Thank
God for the dictionary.
In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me your thoughts on four UFC fighters being suspended?
Yeah, here's the reality of it. These guys are all very recently, these are four guys that all took fights on short notice. Only one of these guys was actually tested positive for any kind of amphetamine. The other three, it's a real shame. They had to go out and pay like penance, as it were, like 200 and something in court fees, $4,000 for a fine because they took a fight on short notice because what they had in their system was pot, marijuana. In this day and age, this is what we're talking about anymore, guys. This is a hassle at this point. You need to stop. And they all said it could have been a lot worse. They all said that when they took this fight, it should have been more. But they said, listen, as soon as we got the call, we stopped, boom. So they lessened it 4.5 to 6 months as a suspension. This is ridiculous. Have you noticed on this entire thing tonight? Listen, it's just pot. It's nothing bad. Suck it up. Stop hassling. Stop hassling athletes. Stop hassling humans for smoking pot.
If you can go out and fight in a UFC octagon on pot, you're a better fighter than the guy who's not on pot. Okay. It's not a performance enhancer. First of all, secondly, These guys are now being punished for doing the company a favor and taking a fight on short notice because they didn't have enough time to get the weed out their system. Fuck this shit. It's stupid. If they were on a cycle, if they were gassing up or something, I could almost understand. But weed, we're going to suspend guys for weed in 2020?
Prove to me that it's any kind of enhancement drug whatsoever.
It's a detriment.
It's the only thing it's enhancing is the tip, that 15 to 20% you're giving to that pizza guy when he shows up because you're high as fuck when he at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Dan would never give the delivery guy 20%. Not a chance.
I don't get high.
What if it was a delivery girl?
Oh, what if she was fine?
I'd give her the tip.
Tid's not impressed.
That seems aggressive. What if she's not into it?
Who's most likely to be charged?
Call the tip hotline, I guess.
And that's Dan this week.
Thanks, everybody. This is episode 22. We are done this party. Thanks to our special guests from the hip. Go check them out at the Markham Fairgrounds on September 18th. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can come out. You can meet me. Tid, you're probably going to be there, right?
Sure, I won't. No, that all depends. Honestly, that all depends on how much driving you want to do.
We will say hello from our vehicles. And we will not come over, but we will say hello from a distance because we are social distancing.
I'm going with you.
That's it, man. It was a great show. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. Arrest that son of a bitch that killed Breonna Taylor. Do not mix up two different black men that dated her at two different times in her lives. Get that shit right, motherfuckers. That's Notorious TID. That is Danny O. My name is Donnie DeSilva. We are done. And do not forget that we have been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. And we will continue to do it and break the rules and remake it and do whatever the fuck we want. We're done.
It's a dead shade, so we dance the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm in? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim.
Let's see it.
Sit silently and listen to our thoughts. With illusions of someday, cast in a golden light. Don't dress rehearsal. This is our life. The hornet stung me, and I had a feverish dream with revenge and doubt. Tonight we spoke.